it's important that we learn to pass the torch. And I don't want to make that just a light statement. I don't want that to be something that is a picture in our heads that sounds good. I want it to be not just realistic in our hearts and our minds as we follow Christ, but I want us to understand the value of it. Passing the torch of the gospel of Christ, passing the torch of our witness for Christ, passing the torch of teaching the truth of God's word, passing the torch of our life, of his light, of his word, of our character in Christ. These things have a huge impact, and we're going to look at that and see what that impact is. And in doing so, it might even be some answers for you regarding our country. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, please, that you will just bless. May we be fed by your word, blessed by your spirit, blessed by the fellowship that we share, blessed by being in your house, able to worship you and to sing praises to you. And just, I pray that you'll be pleased, Father, pleased with our hearts and our spirit as we focus on you, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So the stability of Christian civilization has always been based on the family. You're thinking about America, you want America to get better, let alone the world, but this is start with America. Hey, maybe we can just start with Kalinga. Kalinga's changed in the last 20 years, has it not? Hear more gunshots, hear more sirens, hear weird things going on, you know, all that type of stuff. It's changed, but we're not alone. It's changed across our country and around the world. The beginning of the change to a healthier, happier, more peaceful, united country that brings glory to God. By the way, there is a method in which a country can be a country that brings honor and glory to God. Our currency says one nation under God. It wasn't just a great phrase or a great thought of, hey, that sounds really good, that let's put that on our currency. It is a statement of the heart of our forefathers establishing that we are a nation under God that seek him first with all that we are. And that starts with us and our families. If you and I as individuals and you and I in our own families are focused on Jesus, are focused on truly living the Christian life, truly learning about him, following him, being the people that God wants us to be, it's the family unit that inspires and compels and affects and diffuses the truth of Jesus to families around. You've heard it said before, the family is the backbone to our country. If our family's messed up, it reflects in our country as well. And so we need to be a family that passes the torch of truth, teaching your children what it means to have a relationship with Christ, how to follow Christ, learning about his word, being examples to them, and as a family, being an example to those that are around us. Because in doing so, we're passing the torch to the next generation. If you and I as parents live as Christians ought to live in a way that's pleasing to God, obviously, and we have children or nieces or nephews or other kids that are around us, then we're being an influence on them that they can say, that person, you or me, loves Jesus and lived the life, a life for Jesus Christ. And in doing so, it affects them. It shapes their hearts, their minds, their souls. And as they grab hold of the truth of Jesus and they learn the values of his word, and as they grab hold on it, what you've done is you've passed the torch to another generation. But unfortunately, our country in times past obviously has not been that so concerned about the individual having a right heart with God all the time and understanding the impact of the individual on family, on your communities, and so forth. But when our forefathers founded America, their heart attitude was one of a right relationship with God. One nation under God. Israel at one time was a nation under God. No king until they wanted a king like the other nations, like King Saul. But before that, it was set up, it was orchestrated that they would be under the rule of God. And that there would be a nation that would reflect that, because the people's hearts were right with God. In a way, I want to say that America is like a Gentile prototype of the same thing. That we're a nation that was founded on the principles of God's word, on the principles of living right with God, and being the people that God has called us to be collectively as a people and a nation under God. That's the way it was supposed to be. That's the way it was formatted. That's the way it worked. Even the structure of our legislation and all that goes on with that, and the separate identities there that help keep our country in check, were all a prototype or a reflection of the structure of government Israel under God, not under their king. And so we're a Gentile reflection of that, if you will. So we are to diffuse our faith, the light of Christ, into this world and into every area of our life. If we want to start seeing America change, we've heard it 1,000 times, and I may or may not be exaggerating, but you know, 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people, what? Humble themselves and repent, right? We're paraphrasing here, and they'll return to God. So we can say that and we can claim that and say that's what we need to do, but the practical application of what we're called to do really comes to the nuts and bolts of your heart and my heart being right with God and living for Him and allowing Him to be in every area of our lives, not restricting any area of our life as our own property because we've been bought with a price. We belong to Christ. We're no longer of our own when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Daniel Webster, now remember, Daniel Webster is not Noah Webster, who is the writer of the dictionary. Daniel Webster is somebody else. Daniel Webster was a famous Supreme Court lawyer and a senator in the mid-1800s. And he explained the strategy of our ancestors regarding the diffusing of light. I was going to add to our kids' time, but for the sake of time, I didn't, and have a big jar of water and drop food coloring in it and let it diffuse through the water. That's what diffusing is. We are to allow the person and the character of Jesus Christ who lives in our heart because we're in line and right with Him to just diffuse out of us into all those that our lives come in contact with. But Daniel Webster, he talks about the strategy of our ancestors regarding the diffusing of that light. What was the attitude of our forefathers? It was to diffuse the truth, to keep it going out, to keep contacting, to keep affecting the lives of people around them. He says this, quote, "Finally, let us not forget the religious character of our origin. Our fathers were brought here by their high veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed by its light and labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through, get this, all their institutions, civil, political, or literary. Let us cherish these sentiments and extend this influence still more widely in the full conviction that is the happiest society which partakes in the highest degree of the mild and peaceful spirit of Christianity." Praise God for that. But see, we've gotten away from the truth that we are called to be a people individually and in our families that are in line with God, so that it affects every area of all the institutions of our country, our civil, political, and literary positions. As God's people, we are not restricted from any area as Americans in our country from letting ourselves impact every area of our culture for the cause of Christ. But we've lost sight of the value of what it means to follow Christ. It used to be, and in the 50s, it became more of a, and I've been told this because I'm too young to really reflect on that, but in the 50s, it was an attitude that says, you know what, my faith and my religion is private. It's none of your business. My political stand is none of your business. And you can hear that echoed in older generations. But that's why some people go, I'm not going to talk about my political stand, or I'm not going to talk about my faith. Isn't that exactly what Satan wants us to do? Exactly. He convinced us that it's our pride that says, it's my business, not yours. No, it's our responsibility to be God's people in line with Him, living the life that God wants us to live so that our lives will reflect the character of Christ, and the effects of our life with Christ will carry the light and diffuse it into the hearts and lives of our families and people around us, all the way up into our civil government. So passing the torch, or diffusing the light, starts with us. I think I've established that. It starts with you, and it starts with me, being sure that we are absolutely serious about our walk with Christ and following Him. Because if we want to make a difference in our life, we'll see the difference in our life when we're in line with God in our life. If we want to make a difference in our families or our marriages or our children's relationships or whatever, you get yourself in line with God, be right with Him, and He will work through you to make an effect. And it'll just keep going, and it'll keep going, and it'll keep going, because the passing of the torch diffuses the light. Starts with us, begins with us. We must first know the Lord is our Savior. We know that. That's the only way we can be a Christian. We can't declare that I'm Christian because I'm not Jewish. We can't declare that we're Christian because I'm not Buddhist. We can't declare the faith of Christianity because we choose it out of the buffet of all the other religions in the world. We can only declare that we're Christians because we've received Christ as our Savior, but we cannot have an impact as Christians unless we are in line with Him. We have to be there. We must know the Lord is our Savior. Then we can live the godly lives that He intends for us to live. Then that life influences our personal spheres of influence. When we're again in line with God, our life is right with God, that godly life that God wants to live in and through our lives as a result of us not making ourselves the priority, but dying to ourselves, our own selfish desires, and saying, Lord, You save me. I'm going to give myself all and completely to You, that I might know You and that I might know the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. For there's nothing that we can contrive on our own as being better, having a better filled life outside of Christ. We can't do that. The best and fullest life that we can ever experience is a heart that's right with Jesus. We learn about His love and His mercy and His grace and His power and His transformational work in each of our lives that people will see and lives will be touched by it. In our Founding Fathers' Day, they called us self-governing individuals. Self-governing means we are in self-control. I like that. Are you a self-governing individual? Remember, the Hebrews, the Israelites, when they didn't have a king and they were under the authority of God the Father, their hearts were focused on being in line with God. They were a nation under God until they took their eyes off of God and said, we want to be like every other nation, have our own king. What did that reflect? It reflected pride. And when we as God's people in America, in which America was founded on biblical structure, governmental structure, civil structure, religious structure, everything was built on the truth of God and His word and His ways, when we stopped living it, stop caring about it, stop respecting it, then there's no diffusion taking place. And instead of having a quiet, spirited country that's not in turmoil, we have what we have today. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. We want to be strong. We want to be bold. We want to be confident because we have the security and the power of Christ that not only surrounds us and protects us as we go out in the world, but that indwells us as a reality in our life. If we cannot rule ourselves, we cannot bring rule and order to our families, our cities, our government, etc. Without self-control, our society breaks down. You see what I mean? It's not just proclaiming the name of being a Christian. It's the life that has the effect. It's not just saying that I will pass the torch. It's the effect of passing the torch, the authenticity of the person passing the torch, the credibility, authenticity, the reality of the person of Jesus Christ living in and through their lives passes that torch. And without that, our society breaks down. And so we need to take it seriously, because God can turn our country around. And God doesn't just want that for our nation, but other nations to be a nation under God. You say, well, that's wishful thinking. I tell you what, start with yourself and see what God does around you as we live for Jesus. There's power in living for Jesus. Never underestimate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that indwells each one of us. Never. The freedom we all desire will disappear and has been disappearing. And in a way, when we're self-governing, it sounds contradictive to say that we have freedom. The more we surrender to Christ, the more freedom we find in life. It's true. The more that we find our life in Christ, the more freedom we have over the anxieties and the pressures and the lack of power to be able to take care of things, because we find out that God takes care of our anxieties. He knows our pressures and He carries them. He gives us wisdom. That's a freedom that we find in Jesus as we experience the person of Christ living in our lives. So the freedom we all desire disappears like it has, and it sounds like it's countercultural, okay? But self-control brings us freedom. I just want to repeat that. In 1654, Hugo Grotius, how'd you like the last name, Grotius? You know, but there it is. A Dutch diplomat and theologian wrote this, quote, now this is in Old English, some of it, and so it might be a little bit, you have to wrap your mind around parts of it, but there's a main point. He knows not how to rule a kingdom that cannot manage a province. Starting from the top. Nor can he wield a province that cannot order a city. Nor he order a city that knows not to regulate a village. Nor he a village that cannot guide a family. Nor can that man govern well a family that knows not how to govern himself. Neither can any govern himself unless his reason be Lord, will, and appetite. Her vassals. In other words, that our desire, Jesus said that for me to live is to do the will of my Father in heaven. My meat and drink is to do the will of my Father. So what he's really saying here is that unless he rules his life under the Lord, seeks the will of the Lord, that the appetite is this in his heart. So neither can any govern himself unless his reason be Lord, will, and appetite, her vassals. Nor can reason rule unless herself be ruled by God and wholly be obedient to Him. It starts from God. Honoring God for who He is. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, everlasting, Alpha and Omega, God. And we start by recognizing who He is and acknowledging His authority, acknowledging His love, acknowledging His power, and then saying, I want to live my life under Him. Because there's no one greater than Him. No one more capable to rule my life than Him. And allowing Him to be ruler, Lord of our lives, enables us to discover freedom through our spiritual relationship with Christ, which does not alienate us from the world, but teaches us how to be strong and enduring as we journey through it. We have to remember this. The pilgrims did. The colonial forefathers did. They understood the dependence on God and that it was needed. They understood that through their dependence on God, there was absolute true insurance, true security found in Him, and that the sinful nature of man could not be controlled unless we yield to God. Amen? We can't have victory over sin in our life unless we yield to the power, by the way, as believers, that lives inside of us. We have the power. We just have to make the choice to rely on his power. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. The sin nature of man could be restrained and his great potential for good unleashed. I'm going back to a thought. That your potential and my potential can be unleashed as we rely on the power of God to give us victory over the power of sin in our life, and he's already given us that power. So we gain that power, we have that power through faith in Christ, and therefore self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. The self-control we gain over sin, the self-control we have under to enable us to submit to our loving Lord and Savior who loves us more than can ever be measured, comes by the Spirit of God that lives in our heart because we're believers in Christ. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And I love that. No law, no society, no person, no nothing, will, not even God, he will not take the fruit of the Spirit that lives in us. He will not take it away from us. But it's our choice to yield to him so we can experience the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the only way that we can live like this, to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our life and allow it to overflow into others. With the Spirit of God, we can bear the fruit of self-control in every area of our lives. Do not convince yourself to accept the lie of Satan, our adversary, as a saying, "Yeah, but not that area." Every area we can yield and gain victory over through Christ and his power in our lives. Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." We simply need to ask. We may have to ask a lot, but eventually we'll see the victory. Eventually. We just need to listen to God. Listen to how he instructs us through his word and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, which is always in line with his word. That self-control can be in every area, but self-control is not a prison. Self-control is a freedom that we can only discover through the person of Christ living in our lives, teaching us how to view all the things that come against us in this world of darkness and how to view them from his eyes and how to approach them in a way that brings victory in our life and glory to God. It can only be through a surrendered life in Christ Jesus. We need to learn self-control in our thoughts. That's a big one. How about words spoken? We need to have self-control. Oh, that's another big one. Eating habits. Well, for many, that might be a problem. Sexual desires. Many struggle with sexual desires and perversion. Bible reading. How often do you crack your Bible and read it? Read it. Spending habits, temper, and the list goes on. But God has given us the power within our own soul, because he lives within us, to have self-control in every area of our life. That self-control in us affects our marriages. That self-control in us affects our children. That self-control in us makes a solid Christian family. That carries over and diffuses to other families and other families and other families. That some of those families get into politics. Some of those families get behind the pulpit. Some of them are in ministries. Some of them become presidents. The influence is great, and it doesn't just affect our country, but the world around us. When we live a godly life, when we live a godly life, self-controlled life, when we live a godly, self-controlled life, reading that correctly, we will be able to influence others in any sphere of influence we have, whether at work, home, school, wherever. None of your influence in Christ Jesus has limited restrictions. Every area that our lives touch, no matter where it is in our society, no matter what it is, civil or religious, whatever, political or otherwise, we have the right to stand as God's people, diffusing truth and light and the person of Jesus Christ as they see him living in our lives. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. We will be able to pass on the torch of Christ's light. We'll be able to pass on his word of truth. We'll be able to live lives that are a positive witness for Jesus. The Apostle Peter taught us that self-control was part of the building or growing process in our lives. If we don't have self-control to even focus on Christ, that takes self-control, doesn't it? Yeah. We have to learn that self-control. In 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," that's a value, "to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control." You know, we can have the knowledge of the scripture, but without the application of the knowledge, it's foolishness. Do you get that? If we don't apply truth, we're being foolish. But if we learn truth and apply it, we're being what? Wise. Wise. So to knowledge comes self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens? We gain a reality, not a sense, but a reality of the godliness of character that God has developed in our lives. We begin to see that our lives are becoming more godly by being in line with God, not above people, but in line with Jesus. We find ourselves loving our neighbors and loving each other more genuinely, more compassionately. Why? Because we are in line with God. When we're out of line with God, we're thinking about us. When we're in line with God, we are living sacrifices as he's called us to be. Transforming our minds, not yielding to the philosophies of the world, seeing the trials and challenges from God's perspective and how to deal with them in a way that God has empowered us to do. The Apostle Paul reminded Timothy and us that we have been given self-control. In 2 Timothy 1:7, this is the contemporary English version, God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. Cowards is, in other words, translated as being a spirit of fear. God has not given you and I a spirit of fear. We are not to go around and gloom and gloom and glum and gluck, whatever adjective I want to say, but concerning our country, concerning COVID, concerning this is our generation. And we are to be bold, and we're to be strong, and we're to be confident, and we're to have joy in Jesus because he gives us the understanding we need to plow through all the stuff that's robbing joy out of people's lives, in spite of the circumstances. We're not to be cowards. We're not to have a spirit of fear. God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. We are not going to be dominated by the power of darkness over our lives because of circumstance, but we are to be empowered by the power of Christ, resurrection power that lives in us through faith in Christ as our Savior, to be a light that diffuses the truth of God's word, love, and compassion out to others that will make a difference in your life, my life, our families, our children, our community, and later into civil, religious, political government that affects our country and the world around us. It's up to us to choose what we to choose to use what we have been given. We don't totally comprehend the fullness, we can't, of what God has given us. The power that God has given us. Mind you, raising the dead. That was incredible that Jesus rose people from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Tabitha, sit up. The boy on the funeral procession with his mother that was dead, rise up. And on we go. That was powerful. But Jesus rose himself up. Now get it? That power lives inside of us. As mind-boggling and incomprehensible that is to you and I, we can at least say, I know that that very power lives in me and I can tap into it. I may not know the fullness of it, but I know its power. And so we can live bold. We can live happy. We can live in control. We cannot submit to the powers of darkness that want to squelch our light by being weighted down by the garbage of the world of darkness that we live in. After all, what do we expect? If the world is a world of darkness, but if God's people aren't being God's people, then we can expect more chaos. And if we're convinced that it only affects us, then we've been lied to again. Because that's how our country was built. Our country was built on pilgrims and co-founders that said, our relationship with God, the freedom that we have to worship God, to have a right relationship with God, is infused into every area of our lives, one nation under God. A reflection of what took place in Israel before they had their first king, Saul. We have to choose to want to glorify God by living a godly life in self-control. We have to choose to listen and obey God. We have to choose to apply what we learn. We have to choose to recognize God's word and that it will bring forth a godly life as we yield to it and to him. We have to seek God's help. We have to give up things we need to give up to have self-control. You don't want to hear demonic whispers in my ear when I read that? You're being robbed. You're being robbed. There it is. There it is. You've got to give up. Well, if I give up $35,000 for a car that I want, I'm happy about the car I got. I gave up something. Right? If I'm going to buy a house, I'm going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a house. But I got my house. So God calls us to give up what is not necessary for us to have so that we can have the fullness of what he wants to give. Amen? So when we realize that to seek God's help means to give up things that we hold on to, God's saying, let go of those things because they're holding you back from the fullness of what I want to do in and through your lives for my glory. And it begins with our self-control. God can help us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God can help us give up wrong desires. He can help us to make right choices on how we eat. He can help us to mend wronged relationships. He can help us to keep from going into places that we shouldn't go. He can help us to break the bad habits. He can help us to eliminate those things that interfere with our time with God. How much time do you watch TV? Oh, get off your soap opera, Pastor. Get off your soapbox, your soap opera. No, but think about it. If we X'd out TV a little bit more and replaced it with more of just spending time with God, you would be gaining more. If we X out some things that really aren't that valuable and study God's word, we're going to gain more. Because the more we learn and the more we apply, the wiser we get, and the wiser we are enables us to be more victorious, and we gain much more in return. We can make time for God. Self-control in every area of life will not be easy. It is not easy. But we can do it when we depend upon God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Self-control brings freedom, not bondage. Don't let Satan trip you up on that. Self-control through Christ brings us freedom that can only be found in Him. Let's be a self-governing, I like that. Be a self-governing individual. Let's be a self-governing individual. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I just love, Father, that our country was built on the principles of people being right with you, and that it infused into every area of our country, making us a country that was united, making us a country that had peace and wealth and power that came from you because we honored you. Frankly, making us the greatest country in all time, that we, at least that we know of. A country that said, God, we want to be under your authority. Never let our currency remove the name in God we trust. But Father, likewise, never let that just be a saying. Bring it back to a reality. Make our nation one nation under God. And let it begin with each one of us. And let us know that our commitment to you makes a world of difference and brings you glory. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.